and there still might be important differences, but reflects a certain already decision making, or at least stature of how the information is collected dictates like the direction of the case. So I gave a number of examples of that, just to highlight that point, and trying to explain also the different perspectives, whether or not a Bezin Shel Gimel should be able to be Mekabeledus for a Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel, whether a Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel can be Mekabeledus for a Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph, whether we can be Mechalik between different cases, etc. So again, one of the examples that I mentioned but I didn't explain, I want to just take 1 minute to explain it because a couple of people asked me about it, was the issue of Eid Echad. So again, we talked about the Minchas Chinuch's Raya from the Sugya in Sanhedrin and Mem Aleph, that if two Edom come and they testify about Znus, so seemingly they're testifying about a capital case, but the Gemara says that there's no Hazama in that case because they could say that La Osra Al Bala Banu. And so they could say La Osra Al Bala Banu, so that basically neutralizes the Hazama. That's what the Minchas Chinuch was trying to bring a raya, that he's assuming that had to have taken place in a context of Dine Nefashos, otherwise that they couldn't make that claim. That was disputing that. And if so, then it must be that a Gimel, Bezin Shel Gimel, would be a proper framework for the Kabbalah Seidus of a capital case. And I was disputing that as well, even if you take the first assumption that basically there are, it's one of those situations where you have Kabbalah Seidus for two different Dine Torah, and that might just be different. But in any case, that Gemara is the Gemara that the Minchas Chinuch invokes. So regarding that Gemara, there's a very famous discussion in the Achronim regarding Eid Echad. It's Machlokes between Rav Nosson and the Chachamim, which we'll discuss on Daf Lamed in Sanhedrin, whether or not Eidus has to be delivered together, or separate Hagados could take place for Eid Echad, and you could put them together. We know that there's a din of Eidus Miuchedes in the Re'iyas Eidus. Is there a din of Eidus Miuchedes in the Haggadas Eidus? So that's a machlokas later on. Again, we'll hopefully have a good opportunity to discuss it, but that's really the sugya on Daf Lamed. And it's, if you look here on the bottom, Lamed Amud Aleph, Ein Eidus Miuchedes Bebezin Ad She'idu Shneim Ke'echad. That's the view of the Tanakh. Rav Nosson Omer, Shomin Devar Shalechad Hayom, Ukashiyova Chaver Lamachar, Shomin Devarav. And the Gemara says it's a machlokas about Svara, it's a machlokas about Kra, Erechad Kiyasi Lashvua, Lemamona Loasi. Very important Gemara. The language of the Gemara is very important for the relationship between Erechad and Shnai Medim, etc. Anyways, the question is as follows. This is the Nota Buda's question. The Nota Buda says, according to Rav Nosson, who thinks that you can have a separate Kabbalas Eidus for each of the Eid Echads, how would you ever have Hazama? You could always have the Eid Echad saying that, Basi Lechayev Shvua Velo Basi Lechayev Mamon. In which case, it would be the equivalent of the Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Aleph Amud Aleph that we're just talking about, of La Osra Al Bala Banu. So, if that's the case, then That's part of the Nota Buda. It's a very famous discussion in Nota Buda and other Achronim in terms of the scope of Drisha v'Chakira and Mamonas and Nefashos, which we'll get back to later in the year. Yeah.
Isn't it a machlokes if Hazama could even exist by Erechad?
If what?
If there is such thing as Hazama by Erechad?
Yes, but the point is that there can't be Hazama. He's asking. That's a different question.
Yeah, there can't be Hazama at all though, by Erechad.
No. There's a separate question whether there's such a thing as Hazama by Eid Echad in a situation, for example, that's a discussion of the Ksos and the Sivas, in a situation where you would have the circumstances, let's say, of Mitoch Sheni Chal Shava Mashalim. And as if you have an Eid Echad who's going to turn into a Chi of Mamon, does that translate also into Vasisam Lokash Hazam Lasos Lachit? But let's leave that aside for the moment. What he's asking is, you have Shnai Medim who come to court. They say, two Edom come to court, but they come separately, but they testify that Reuven stole $100 from Shimon. But why can't each one of the Edom say, you know, Basi l'chayiv shu, if they come together, it's one thing, but if they come separately, which according to Rav Nosson, you have that mitzias, that's an Oda Behuda's question. So the Beis Halevi's answer to that question, which is very much connected, you know, both answers we'll see in a moment, to the Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara too, is the Beis Halevi says that's not an issue, because it's true that Eidechad, you know, is Mechayiv Shvua, but really, really, conceptually, Eidechad is Mechayiv Mamon, and is just a Ptur Shvua. So we'll discuss, if we get a chance, the status of Eidechad. That's part of a much bigger topic. So what the Beis Halevi was answering was that it's only the perception. It is a reality, of course, Eidechad is Mechayiv Shvua, but that, you know, alters a little bit what's really happening, and that is that the koach of an Eidechad is to be Mechayiv Mamon. That's why you have things like Mitoch Sheni Chol Shava Mishalem, and therefore you can't say Basi L'Chayiv Shvua, because the Chayiv Shvua is just a Ptur. Every Eidechad who comes is Ba L'Chayiv Mamon. That's the Beis Halevi's answer to that question. And as I say, it very much fits into the Gemara, because that's part of the question in the Gemara about the, you know, the Kra and the Svara, Kiyasi, Eidechad Kiyasi L'Shvua, Asi or L'Mamona, Asi, etc. However, the Rav used to say in the name of his father a slightly different answer, and that's the one that I was using or to build my kind of bigger structure of Kabbalah Seidus, and that is, even if you don't take the view, because that's clearly a Machlokas or Rishonim, how to understand the Chiyuv Shvua of an Eidechad, even if you don't take the view that really Eidechad is a Mechayiv Mamon, but there's a Ptur Shvua, what you might say is, what is the Kabbalah Seidus, you know, of the Bezdin when they hear this testimony? And when they hear that, you know, that Reuven comes and says that Shimon owes $100, he stole an object of $100 from the other fellow. So the first thing that they're thinking about is not Chiyuv Shvua, right? What they're thinking about is building a case, opening up a file of Gezela and of Chiyuv Mamon. So the question is, when, you know, La'osra al-Ba'al-Banu, is that a din, again, intent? Or is that just, you know, some technicality? Or does that have to do with the way that the testimony is accepted and received by the Beis Din? So this would be another example of this idea where Kabbalah said, again, it's very similar in a way, he didn't say this, but I'm saying this, to the Ramban's Pshat that I mentioned yesterday, maybe an expansion of Rashi's interpretation of the difference between saying, Echad Begaba, and the other one saying another Echad Begaba, but each time you hear the testimony, independently, you're saying Katan Katan or Ktana Ktana, as opposed to, one year, living in the field, and then the one says one year living in the field, where, even though each independent Edus is insufficient, but each one is basically being received, to build the case of Achzik Bochen Imchazki Boinchi. So the same idea here would apply. So that's another example of Kabbalas Eidus playing a role, the way that we receive the Eidus, how we file it, as I put it, being a critical element. This Gemara and this issue also raises another question, which I just wanted to just throw out, because we talked also about the Ramban's view that Pishnayim or Shlosha Eidim, that the Shloshas prefer to the Shnayim, even though we say Trei Kameya, and that's an important idea, an important theme. So part of that theme is, what is the status of 3 witnesses and 100 witnesses and 1,000 witnesses and 1,000,000 witnesses? And that's, where the Ramban, comes in. You might have said, well, since he himself is a strong advocate of Trei Kameya, therefore eliminating things like Migu and so on, so, where's the room for the rest of this? But that's exactly what we were trying to explain. But once you have this idea, so then it's interesting to look at it from the other side too. Not what's the status of 3 and 100 and 1,000,000, but what's the status of 1. And again, Gemara's like this, the question of Eidus Miuchedes or Eidus Miuchedes in Haggadah, the question of what the Kabbalah's Eidus really is in Eidechad, the question whether Eidechad, both the Ramosha Soloveitchik and the Beis Halevi part, meaning whether Eidechad is really Mechayiv Mamon, but there's a Ptur Shvua, all of these goes to that question, whether or not on an Emanus level, there isn't already a full belief you know, for an Ein Echad. In which case, again, you have, it's an interesting phenomenon. You can have, you know, total nemanus or total edus, right? But you still don't get the results. So, for example, the Ksos famously explains that, you know, the reason you need Shnayim Edim and not Ein Echad is Exeris HaKasuv. Meaning that from an Amonus point of view, you know, really Ein Echad is if you believe two, you believe one. But the Nesivos, in Choshen Mishpat, disagrees strongly. And Siva says that, that says a really interesting thing, actually, and that is that you need two Edim, you know, for the, that, that's part of the quality of the Nemanus. But not because of Sheker, he seems to accept the idea that if you're going to believe two, then you should believe one. But because of, you know, people's runaway imaginations. So, you know, there's always a small suffix, you know, that an Ein Echad is hallucinating, or, you know, his overactive imagination is getting the best of him. That he's bode dover milibo, that he imagines it. And the two is, no people have the same imagination, or overactive imagination anyway. Every overactive imagination expresses itself differently, one might say. Whereas, so therefore two kind of eliminates the bode milibo part, and then, you know, what you're left with is, of course, the you know, the pure nemanus. So that's an interesting view of the Nesivos. In theory, there are some indications of this, I think, in Rishonim. You might say, no, it's, you know, Moshe L'mad Avadom, just like we said the other day. The Rishonim say that, you know, one of the reasons that maybe you don't have Migu for two Edim is because, you know, coordinating a lie, you know, is much more difficult than, you know, than one person creating a lie. So too, there are some indications that the two play a role, not just in the Nesivos' Bode Milibo, but in the question of Emes and Sheker too. In other words, the this idea that we consider two Edom to be fact, and not just, you know, like a great rove, even though we know there can be exceptions, we have institutions that reflect those exceptions, right? Hazama and Akasha. In the case of Akasha, you're even faced with it. In other words, you're operating with Treya Kameh, treating it as a fact, even as you're faced with the reality that somebody here is lying. So, nonetheless, we treat it as truth. But it could be that the threshold for treating something as objective fact and truth, which is an amazing thing, Cheskas Kashrus, is two and not one, because that just increases the likelihood so much. That doesn't have to be only Exeris HaKasuv, it doesn't only have to be to eliminate the other factor of Bode Milibo. But these are all interesting questions and issues. The Ramban's comment really is part of that topic. How you look at, you know, Ein Echad B'Isurim and the relationship between Nemanus and Edus is part of that. Again, last year when we talked about Shavi Nafshe, we talked about Hodos Balin Kemenim Dami, and then the Ksos's view that when it comes to a person's personal domain, you know, Hodos Balin Kemenim Dami really means Edus, but without any of the low plug limitations. Which basically means that, you know, for his world, within his world, kurva is not a question, or psul, Ein Echad is not a question, or psul. So the more, if you take that very seriously and you think it's some sort of an objective, you know, within his domain, you know, it's you don't need the protections. So again, you have this idea that even Ein Echad, even certain types of psulim are really nemanim 100%. So that's these are very interesting and important issues. Or Kiblolai, which is a topic we'll discuss in the third parak also. Kiblolai Ein Echad. So if you think that's pure Hischaivus, which is the view of many Rishonim, then, you know, like Hodas Baldin, if you think it's Hischaivus, then it's, you know, irrelevant to what we're talking about at this moment. But if you think that these are based on, you know, upgrading or being Makshir, you know, Pagamim and Psulim and so on, then the idea that you have, you know, objective truth conveyed by Ein Echad is something again. So you have to keep your eyes open for these things, but these are some of the issues. Robbie brought to my attention also, we talked about Gimel, Dayanim, playing a role within the Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel, and possibly even being a din in you know, or connected to the chalos of Bezin and Dine Maminis, in the line of Rabbi Yona and the Yerushalmi that Eli was pointing out. So Rabbi points out that that's also very good in the limud of Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel, because you have, you know, Eda Matzelas, and you have Eda, you know, which is Mechayeves, right? And then instead of just having one more to break the deadlock, so it won't be a Bezin Shakol, you have the three more, right, of the Bezin Shel Gimel. So maybe that too is an indication that even though we're trying to explain, again, there's no stira between these two points. They don't go together, but they're not a stira either. That just means, just makes for a more nuanced picture. But even though we're suggesting that Sanhedrin, Katana and Gedola are part of a system that Bezin Shel Gimel is not so much a part of, we also recognize that that's not an absolute truth. And the idea that, you know, within the hierarchy there's also, you know, an accentuation of the three, whether it's in Shnayim B'Davar Echad Shomea, or in the Limud, or in these other, or in the Kabbalas Edus, all of this is something that is that are indicated by some of these makaros. Okay, so that's just to fill in. Today I want to discuss, in the time that we have, first I want to discuss a little bit of the Drashas Haran, and then I want to start discussing a little more of what we, you know, have alluded to in Smicha. So yesterday, excuse me, yesterday I mentioned that, you know, if you look at the Parsha in Bamidbar, in terms of the expansion of leadership, so you could have interpreted that, Moshe Rabbeinu was basically advocating for political leadership, because that's really his complaint at that point in time. And what the Rabbeinu Sholem responds with is, Vayotzel, Minaruach, and Hashruas Hashchina, and Nevuah. And then the question is, how far do you go with that? You know, and that's part of Yehoshua's concern. But it seems like Moshe Rabbeinu is not so concerned, about it. Anyway, the psukim that we read in Bamidbar, if you look at the initial suggestion and then the Rabbeinu Sholem's response and then the actual implementation, there's something very interesting going on there, which definitely is projecting a more complex posture about political and spiritual leadership and their intersection, interface, which again totally consistent with the unique character of Jewish life. So part of that also plays out in the relationship between the Dayan and the Melech. The institution of Melech, again, I don't know if hopefully we'll have a chance to speak more about it later, but obviously the second parak of Sanhedrin, very involved in this, and of course, already from the Mishnah here on Daf Beis of an Aleph, we touched on Kohen Gadol and Melech, but the institution of Melech, as we know, is very controversial. Sometimes Sim Alech HaMelech, and then in the time of Shmuel and Shaul, asking for Melech is a chet, or maybe the way they ask for the Melech is the chet. Big machlokas in the Mefarshim, how to understand the whole institution of Malchus. But of course, it becomes very important to understand these relationships. And as I said yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu was originally, both Rabbeinu and Navi and Chacham, and Melech and Kohen Gadol, but that's a good way to initiate all these leadership positions. That's what I was suggesting also about the Radvaz, or the Radvaz and Hukos Maaser Karbanos. But in the end of the day, the checks and balances, or the inability of a single person to effectively do all these things, breaks up these institutions. So there's Keser Malchus, there's Keser Kahuna, there's Keser Torah, which is Munach Lakol, and which is Ola Al Gabe Kulam, but we need to understand what those boundaries really are, and one of the main makoros for that is also the Drashas Haran. So I just want to speak a little bit, make some of the haros just to point out some of the chidushim of the Drashas Haran. He of course is the one that more than anyone else draws this a picture of Melech and Shofet in such stark terms. So it starts off, the piece starts off in the 11th Drasha with an analysis of the Pasuk that we've been dealing with. Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'cha b'chol sharecha, and especially the focus on v'shaftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek. So what does v'shaftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek mean? We already discussed a little bit the position of the shiltos. So Rashi explains, and it's based on Medrash, on the Sifrei, that manei dayanim tzadikim umumchim lishpot tzedek. So the question is, what does that mean? And the Ran doesn't like it very much, but he tries to explain what motivated Rashi. Behuska klafarish kein lefish imlo ba el tzavos hashoftim sheyishbetu bitzadek. Right, if it's talking about the, this is again part of the issue with the shiltos. If it's talking about the dayanim themselves, you know, being done bitzadek, you know, lo sagurum mipneish and everything that implies, right? Kvar kosuv achrav lo sate mishpat. V'chein pirish lo ba elomar shashoftim asher nimna yiru ruuyim lishpot tzedek. So again, does that mean that the people who appoint them shouldn't have any ulterior motivation? You know, they should be picking the best people. That's the Shultz argument. Or does it mean something a little bit different? So for Rashi, what it means is that the not only should the dayanim be done b'tzedek, but you should appoint dayanim who have the capacity to be done b'tzedek. So it's a chiyuv on the monim. We know now that the it's not so clear who the monim are, whether it's Klal Yisrael or you know, the hierarchy, it's Sanhedrin HaGadol, it's Tzitzit, but whatever it is, they should be pointing people who are ru'uyim lishpot tzedek. Klomar sheyu tzadikim u'mumchim v'chein shenuya b'sifrei. And then he quotes a sifrei, mishpat tzedek, halo kvar nemar lo sata mishpat, shelo tomar, how'd you look at the sifrei, shelo tomar ish ploni na'e, ish ploni krovi, klomar Oshivenu Dayan, Lefikach Hutzuch Lahazir, Shenamid Dayan, Mumcha Vitzadik. Again, that's different than saying you should be a tzaddik and you know, in your choice of who you choose as a Dayan, but it's not so far from that. It's choose Dayanim who have the capacity and the integrity for Din Tzedek. But if you look at the Sifrei itself, there are different Girsos. But the Sifrei, as we have it, says Nimtza Mezakeh Sachayev Mechayev Sazakai. That if you don't, right, then it turns out that you are contributing to Ivus Hadin. So the Sifrei itself could be understood in much more pragmatic terms. That's V'shaftu Sa'am Mishpat Tzedek, appoint Dayanim who have the ability to be done B'tzedek, because the alternative is to jeopardize the Tochen of Did. However, Rashi doesn't quote that part of it, and I think in some texts in the Sifrei we don't have that part of it. So what I'd like to suggest, and I think that this is what the Ran is saying as well, that, I'm not sure, it doesn't really matter, what I think one could suggest is along the lines of everything that we have been discussing, which is that the mitzvah of Shoftim V'shoftim Tita L'chad B'chol Sharecha, if it's not only about you know, ensuring that you're going to be mezaka sazaka and mechayev sachayev, in other words, the ivus hadin. Of course, it's also about that, but if it's about so much more, it's also about the presence and the personality of dayanim and the impact that they have. So then, the obligation to pick dayanim who have the capacity, you know, and both in terms of, you know, their training and intellectually. You know, it's in terms of their Havana Satora, but also and especially in terms of the integrity of who they are and what their personalities is, you know, that have this capacity, that becomes an independent din and minui dayanim, separate from ibus hadin. Even if you weren't worried about ibus hadin, or say it a different way, even if the ibus hadin, you know, would already be completely covered by other imperatives, other prohibitions, you know, like losata mishpat and so on, the idea of shoftim v'shoftim tita no b'chol sharecha v'shoftu isa'am mishpat tzedek is a shiur in the gavra dayanim and the role that they play that transcends the din itself. So that's ha'ara number one, in light of just the way that he's formulating it here and pointing out, you know, the superfluity of it, which Rashi doesn't so much. That's ha'ara number one. But the Ran himself came up with a new interpretation, a very radical but very compelling one. Radical because no one said it before, as far as I know. Aval be'enai pshata kasuv kachu yaduahu ki amin ha'enoshi tzarech l'shofet sheyishbot bein pratav shimlokein ishas re'eu chayim blao v'yeh klolo nishkas v'chol uma tzrichala yishuv medini, right? Ad shamar chacham sheves halistim hiskimu b'neim ayosher v'yisrael tzrichin ze. Now here's our two girsos. Ki yeser ha'umos o yoser mikol ha'umos. And this is already very interesting. So basically the Ran is here formulating the idea of Chosha Mishpat and Dayanim as precluding, you know, anarchy, as providing for you know, minimum cohesion in society, order in society. And our two girsos here, I'm just quoting from the footnote here. Leze Yoser, there's one gear, so the Leze Yoser mina umos, or Ze Kieter ha umos. So that's very interesting. I would assume that if you have the gears, both are quite interesting. Again, in other words, the concern of the Torah for preventing anarchy is identical. Interesting, not difficult, but interesting. You might think that for Klal Yisrael that it's more because, at, you know, what's at stake, you know, and the Ama Nivchar is more. Probably not more because Klal Yisrael are more quarrelsome than anybody else. Again, we do have our faults, you know, here and there about being quarrelsome. But I don't think that's the pshat. But the two, you know, whether this is, you know, totally universal or whether or not this is an added urgency. And Klal Yisrael then is two yourselves in the Ran. But then he adds, U'milvad zeh, tzrichin aleihem, od l'siba acheretz, v'hu l'hamid chukei ha-Torah al tilam, l'hanish chayvei malkios, v'chayvei misas bezden, ho rimal chukei ha-Torah. So again, you could see that as mostly still just pragmatic. You could say Klal Yisrael has an additional element, and that is since our Taryag Mitzvos, and therefore that includes Onshim for all sorts of different things. So you also need Dayanim, you know, who are going to address that. But then it's so much more than that in the continuation. Im hayot she'ein ba'osa aveira hefsed yishuv medini klal. So basically what he says is that, again, one could have said that, you know, once you have these additional requirements, that that's just an expansion of, in other words, for the rest of the world, there's a certain minimum prevention of anarchy. You know, and again, the, you know, the consequences of anarchy, you know, go so far. But for Klal Yisrael, you know, to be in a state of anarchy, you know, is particularly unacceptable given, you know, its mission. So we're more strict, you know, in promoting, you know, coherence, cohesion, tranquility, you know, but not as some sort of transcendent, spiritual, you know, nothing to do with Taurus and Kanchim, but, you know, having everything to do with a more scrupulous, you know, requirement of Choshen Mishpat. That's what one could have said, and I think that's totally legitimate to say such a thing. That's why you have a much more greater specificity in the dinim and so on. But that's not what the Ran says. The Ran says that im hayot she'ein ba'osa aveira, meaning dinei haTorah, hefsed yishuv medini klal. The Ran here is completely divorcing these two issues. What he's saying is that when it comes to chaos and anarchy, everybody's equal. Or, according to the other Gersa, maybe Klal Yisrael is more. But either way, that's one aspect. The other aspect, that of dinei haTorah, has nothing to do with yishuv haMedini klal uklal. Ve'ein safek ki b'kol achad me'atzdanim is demenu shnei inyanim. Ha'echad yichayev lahanish eza ish kefi mishpat amiti. Vasheni she'ein ro'i lanisho kefi mishpat tzodek amiti. Aval yuchuyav lanisho kefi tikun seder medini u'kefi tzorech hashav. He's basically drawing a very stark picture here that these are two dinim that have nothing to do with each other. One is all you know, social and societal, basically, meaning it's all about order and it's all about impact. It's all, you know, the pragmatic effect, and the other is purely about justice and some sort of an ideal system, right? V'Hashem Yisbarach yiched kol echad me'inyanim ha'elu l'kat miyuchedet v'tziva she'yismanu ha'shoftim lishpo tamishpat ha'tzodek ha'aviti v'hu amaro. This is the amazing pshat, the shoftu esa'am mishpat tzedek. So it doesn't mean, not the Shultz's pshat and not the Rashi pshat, not the pragmatic way to read the Rashi pshat based on the Sifrei, the existing Sifrei, not my suggestion that it's being bemanid dayanim who have this capacity, and the integrity of personality, to do this. But the whole the way to read the psukim is shofin the shofin tichbuch b'chayis shoracha shor shemal kachal senecha lishvatecha b'shoftu esa'am mishpat tzedek, meaning when it comes to the transcendent religious component of all of this, that is in the hands of the dayanim, as opposed to, as we'll see in a moment, just one more second, the melech. Klomar balavair hashoftim ha'elu le'ez adavar yismanu the kama kocham gadol the amar shetachlis minuya mukdei lishpot as abe mishpat tzedek amiti biatzmo ve'en yecholtam over biyosem izeh ubepnei shesidur hamedini lo yishalem bezeh levado hishlim hakel tikuno b'mitzvas hamelach. So that is how he interprets the pasuk. Yeah.
Are we reading that line "Vein safek im kol echad min kol hatzadim" as reinforcing the earlier distinction?
That's on which line?
"Vein safek im kol echad min hatzadim yizam lishnei yanim" as enforcing or reiterating the earlier distinction.
Yes, that he's saying that there are two dinim.
Yeah, I thought the Rambam was saying that each one of these earlier tzadim itself divides into a required distinction.
I don't think so.
Meaning that even in mishpat haTorah you need echad lahanish and echad bitzarach hashah.
Nope, I don't think that's what he's saying, and I don't think that's consistent with the rest of the piece either. Yeah,
I think later when he suggests that for dini Torah, this
Later on we'll talk about ben olam achaveiro, ben olam
makom. So there it does sound like he.
There he says it, but that's what he introduces it there. But I don't think that that's what he's saying.
Rebbe doesn't think he's saying that here too.
No, and I think there when he says it, it's a yesh omrim, which I like, but I think it's a qualification. I'll get to that in just a minute. I'll get to that part in a minute. But here I think he's just maintaining a very, very strict dialectic between Melech and Shofet, and so far he is basically denying both in his description of what it is that Din Torah is. Let's say it's not an expansion or an intensification of the regulation of society per se in terms of the social part. It's not, we're more makbid on, not just preventing, chaos, but in having an orderly society. It's much more than that. It's not that. And I think that the two here are the melech and the din Torah. Later on, I'll get to the passage that you're talking about, where I think he does, make a suggestion about, bet olam l'makom, bet olam l'chaveiro, which we'll get to in just a second.
Well, I guess how does Rebbe read It sounds like
I think he's saying that these are. I think that's what he's saying, that these are two tor ein safek ki b'chol echad me'atzadim, meaning the melech side and for these two things the yizdamnu shtei inyanim. There are two things. I don't think he's saying that there are two things in each. I don't think
so. In each
one, it goes. Mean one realm. I think he's saying one realm and the. I don't think it matters so much, frankly, but I think that what he's saying is there are two realms and there are two consequences. Not two realms in each consequence, but there are two realms and there are two themes. And one theme goes deep. I think that the reading until later on when I think he has one point where he overlaps them.
How would you translate that line?
I just did. He has two. Again, it's in the numbers. He's saying there are two issues and there are two consequences, but I don't think he's saying there are two consequences in each issue. No, he says for each one of the tzad. The way I'm interpreting is that for each one of the ki b'kol echad mehat tzadim yizdamnu shteyan. For each of these side, there is a consequential application. Ha echad yichayev lahanish eza ish b'kifi mishpat amiti. That's meaning that's the mishpat tzedek. V'asheni she'en roi lahanisho kebefi mishpat tzodek amiti, aval yichayv lahanisho kefi tikun seder medini u kevi tzorech hasha. I don't think that's.
I I guess, are all dini, meaning presumably all dini mamonos are not going to be tzorech hashah, right? Meaning you can have, meaning Rebbe's matching up the tzorech hashah.
No. What I'm saying is the dini melech, I'm not saying that there aren't overlapping dinim that don't serve a double function. What I'm saying is that the realms are political, social, which is something which is always subject to change. It's not enduring and it's not permanent by definition because it's based on its impact, not based on its objective standing. And then there's something else, which is which we'll see in a moment. He calls a Shefa HaTorah and Dveikus Vashem, which we'll get to in just a second, which is the more objective and therefore immutable aspect. This way I'm interpreting it is that there are two motifs. Each motif is distinct from the other. I agree that linguistically you could read it otherwise. I don't think it's difficult to read it either way. I think the both the context and the thrust of everything he's saying until one certain point is very clear that that's what he means. That he means to break this up in an absolute way. Okay, so the these are the two things that he formulates, and I just wanted to add just a couple of aros on this. B'shafta mishpat tzedek. One second. Yeah. So then I think, again, as part of this same idea, when he talks about melech, so he says, again, I'm just continuing to read a couple of words. Univar ze od kishananiach tzad echad min atzadim. This is, again, Hare Shaninu. Again, these are the same tzadim that he's talking about. He talks about hasra. So he explains that the requirement of Hisrei Simbo, Kibel Asra, Hitra Atzmo Lemisa, Ein Sapek, Ki Kol Zeh Ra'ui, Mitzad Mishpat Tzedek, Ki Lama Yamus Ish, Im Lo She'eda She'echnis Atzmo, B'davar She'esh Bo Chiv Misa. This is very fascinating. Aval, I'm skipping a little bit, Im Lo Ye'en Shuha Ovrim, Ki Im Al Zeh Aderech, right, Yifsad HaSidura Medini Legamri, She'esrabu Shov Chedamim V'lo Yaguru Mina Onesh. So basically, he takes Hasra as an example, which is split between these two motifs, which at the moment are divorced one from the other. And what he says is that Hasra is something that has to do with the nobility of the law, the transcendence of the law. It's part of the Mishpat Tzedek, where you're interested in justice. And part of justice is the idea that a person knows what he's getting into. He signs off. Well, we'll discuss Hasra more extensively in the first paragraph. You're going to lose out in, and this is absolutely true, in efficiency and effectiveness. If you're interested, what he's trying to show is that there are cases where, policy-wise, there's a conflict between the social, political, effectiveness model and the intrinsic, spiritual, transcendent justice ideal. Hasra serves the second. It's a nightmare for the first, because Yisrabu Shov Chedamim, Lo Yaguru Mina Onesh, Lachain Tziva Hashem Yisbarach, Litzorch Yishuvo Shal Olam B'minui HaMalchus, Kemo Shekasu B'Parsha Zu, V'chi Tavao La'aretz, Som Tasum Alech HaMelech. HaMelech Hu Yachol Adun Shalo B'Hasra, Nimtza Sheminui HaMalchus, Shava B'Yisrael, U'B'Yesar HaUmos. This again is another example where Yesh Makom Lachlok, just like he said about the issue of Haaretz, exactly the same. Right here, later on, he'll retract this maybe a little bit, but this is really the heart of what you guys are asking me as well. I think this is again the reinforcement that the Minui Malchus is identical. Again, until he qualifies it a little bit, the social part is Shaveh. Ubiyesar Umos Shetzricham L'Sidu Medini. Uminui hashoftim miyuchad v'tzarech yoser b'Yisrael. Again, one could have called like in both directions, right? Especially in line of the, in light of the Ramah and everything that we were discussing, right? And that is maybe there's a certain ideal, maybe not an extensive as Kosher Mishpat, maybe there's a certain ideal elevating aspect, to civil law even for non-Jews. But the Drashas Haran is drawing a very clear dichotomy between the melech and the shofet. Basically, the melech is totally universal, the shofet is totally Jewish. And then, just to highlight it even better, and this totally fits in with what we were discussing, and that is the connection between, just one more second, between other miktzos haTorah and Choshen Mishpat. Because as we discussed right from the very beginning, right, one could have said that Choshen Mishpat is totally different because it does overlap and it is very logical, and you know it's toeles, you know, in terms of the chebrati side of it is understandable, and that's also reflected in its greater flexibility, right? The fact that you know, in Davar Shebamamon, you know, there's hefker bezin hefker. There's, you know, greater yesh koach b'ad chachamim. There's, you know, masa mashakasu b'torah b'tzanai davar shebimamon. You know, there's kiblu, all these things. You can either drop it or you can even reformulate it, reshape it. The hodos baldins, all these things, especially if they're real, reshaping. So the idea that, you know, that this is, you know, totally different than the other miktzos haTorah is something with a lot of support. Moreover, we even know that there are different, we'll get back to this, but we've mentioned it already, you know, there are different rules sometimes. I mentioned, you know, Hefker Bezdin and Dina de Machusad Dina and Tanai Davar Shebamama, but I mean even in other things. The way you darshan in Kanshim, like, is different than how you darshan in other areas. And who, you know, is the supreme authority? Is it Rav? Is it Shmuel? Is it, you know, Rabba? Is it Rav Yosef? Is sometimes different in different miktzos haTorah. So again, that could just be expertise. But, you know, there, it's tempting to think that maybe, you know, again, how much Torah, you know, Megillah, how much, you know, Chasuma? Again, Ki Pali Mimcha Davar Tzbein Dam Ladam Bein Din Ladin Bein Nega Lanaga. So it's one supreme court, and as we're going to discuss very soon in Smicha for the Rambam, Roy Lahoros B'chol Torah Kula, but at the same time, there are different miktzos haTorah. So that's a dialectic that we always have to keep in mind. So what's fascinating about the Ran here is that he is very comfortable making this point, that the Shoftu is on Mishpat Tzedek of the Shoftim is Dafka connected to other miktzos haTorah, as we were trying to explain to answer Mishpatim Bayidaum Halaluka and some of the Midrashim, and specifically very purely inner logic spiritual categories like Karbonos and Chukim, which is what he mentioned. So then I'll take a question. Vani Miva Erod, right, Zevi Omer, Shekemoshen is Yachta Torasenu, Mi Bein Nimuse Umos Haolam, right, Bemitzvos Vechukim. Einin yanam tikun medini klal. One of the things that makes singular, right, the Torah's perspective is that it's not tikun medini, but it's an inner logic, and you know it has its own transcendent significance. Aval nimshach mehem, right, hu chol hashefa hoeloki beumaseinu behidav ko imanu, the dveikus, the shefa, right. Bein sheyira ha'inyan ahu le'einenu kinyanei ha'karbanos b'chol ha'nasa b'mikdash. He considers karbanos and mikdash here to be not chukim, but things that are very logical and understandable, but obviously still very transcendent and not practical and not you know, socially or politically driven, right? Bein shelo yireh kiyoser ha'chukim shelo nizgala tama. Right, even though we don't understand them, clearly they have, you know, they work in some way and they're part of Torah. And, you know, again, he's taking the view, you know, that there are tamei mitzvos even for chukim, as we'll explain in just a minute. The aim is a pella, remarkable, ki kamoshe niskal harbei. Just so there are many things in the natural order that we just don't understand. Right? We don't understand this, you know, the submolecular world and so on and so forth in nature. All this in contrast to the our approach to the, you know, to the rest of civilization, which doesn't have these transcendent elements at all, but just the political and the social aspect, which are very significant too, but they're still different, right? Lefikach ani sover v'roi shiyam meinbo shekemo shachukim she'em lehem mavo klal b'tikun asidur hamedini. Just like chukim have nothing to do with pragmatic impact, v'hem siba atzmit krova lachul hashefa aloki, kein mishpatei haTorah yesh lehem mavo gadol uki'ulu heim b'shutafim bein sibas chol ha'inyan aloki b'umaseinu b'tikun inyan kibbutzeinu. Right? The Efsha Shehem Hayu Ponim Yoser Halanyana Sharhu Yoser Nizgav Vimala Mimashu Ponim Utikun Kibbutzein. Here he's addressing already the overlap. Right? What he's saying is that Choshen Mishpat does both of these things. Right? But Efshar, that the transcendent element, right, outweighs the or overrides, certainly in some of the like, things like Hasra, where you're choosing, you know, you're choosing to sacrifice or concede on the pragmatic part for the sake of the transcendent part. Kiatikun, but he's not so sure about this. Efshar shehema yuponim yoser ela inyan asher hu yoser nizgav b'mala mimashema yuponim l'tikun kibbutzeinu. Kiatikun ahu hamelech esher namin aleinu l'hashlim inyano. Right? Because the melech can always compensate for the pragmatic part. So therefore the shoftim are given freer rein, but he doesn't say absolute rein. He doesn't deny that there's overlap, right? But he basically is saying when you have to err, you're going to err on the side of transcendence because you have the melech to pick up the rest. Aval shoftim v'Sanhedrin hayatakli som lishbota amishbat tzedek amiti tzedek ba'atzmo sheyimshach mimenu hidavek inyanu eloki banu yashlo mimenu legamri sidur inyanan Hahamoni, Olo Yashlim, meaning whether or not it serves the and facilitates the social and political part. If it does, great. And if it doesn't, then the dominant is going to be the transcendent part. Right, this is a very great admission. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim argues that, you know, the halacha is the best system, most efficient system ever. The Rambam says, however, that doesn't mean that there won't be circumstances, right, in which there'll be abuses. Because any system that, you know, is meant to endure over time in different circumstances and geographies, etc., is, even if it's a divine and perfect system, is going to find itself, occasionally, you know, applied unjustly. That's not a chisaron. It's almost like the absurdity print. You know, it's just like that's built into the system, even in the most perfect of systems. Okay. But what the Ran is saying here is a little bit different, and Lashita So, what he's saying is that, you know, it's very possible that the code of Hammurabi or Roman law or the constitution, you know, could be more efficient than Choshen Mishpat here and there. Even though we believe that there's a benefit and a factor of efficiency. But that's okay because we have the melech to pick up the slack, and because more important than the efficiency is the spirituality of it. That's really what he's saying. He's not sure. Again, he's tentative. Efshar shemotah b'tzatz mishpatei v'dinei hu. He doesn't mention specifically, you know, the Code of Hammurabi and the Constitution. But, I don't know. Mashu yoser karov v'sidur the tikkun sidra hamedini mimashi imatze b'ktsas mishpatator. The inanu chaserim b'zadavar. That's not a problem. Ki kol mashi yechzar mei tikkun aniskar hayamashlim ha'melach. Avol yeshanu malah gadol aleihem ki mitzad shehem tzodkim ba'atzmam. But so lomar mishpat haTorah kamo shomar kosev v'shaftu es ha'am mishpat. He's hammering home this pshat. Imashech sheidaveik v'yachula shefa loki banu. V'pneizeh hayarosh ha'shoftim. Now we're up to the, you know, Bezen HaGadol sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis. Right? Again, Chazal say this earlier, but again, you don't have to take the whole package with this, but what's the, you know, the connection between Parshas Mishpatim and the end of Yisro, which of course is Yaseres HaDibros, right? And some issues regarding, the Makom HaMishkan. So Chazal there speak about this, you know, idea about, you know, the Bezin sitting in Lish Sagas. But for the Ran, it's just so acute right? The Rosh HaShoftim and Mivcharam are sitting there because that's the place of Shefa Loki. V'hu inyan amud anshei Knesset HaGdola b'lishchas HaGazes. L'fika chomer azal, v'sekhan avod azara, kibin the chazud de nefishi rotskim, omar nigla, they said we kimbalamed shamakum gorem, but makum is gorem. Rabbi Zad Tzad Nimshach kol ma shomer azal, kol dayim shadon, emes lamito, roi shatishra shchina, right, all the issues that we were talking about. But he has emes lamito, we showed that the Rambam even likes just the effort itself. Balzad derech, right, kol dayin shadon din emes lamito filu sha'achas bayom malal of a kosov kil nasis shutif la kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereishis. Right, these aren't just melitzos anymore, because this is all part of the, you know, integration with the rest of the Torah. Shekemo b'maisa bereishis nira shefa loki b'tachtonim shemi'ito nitaveh kol mashenis nitaveh kein kol dayon. I'm skipping a little bit. Yishalem mitzad dino legamri tikkun amadino lo yishalem. Meaning, if he has to cheat a little bit, he has to cut corners on the pragmatic part, right? So be it. Shekemo shebemaisa karbanos im heyosam rechokim legamri min ahekesh hayanira shefa aloki kein mishpatei Torah hayanimshach v'shofeya gam ki itzarech kfi asidra amadini tikkun yoser asher yamashlim v'amelech. Once again, then al tikshalai mashashanina perik nigmar adin. There the Gemara says that Dayanim are have the capacity. Shemati shebezim makiv yonchin shalom in Torah. Right, velo lavar al divrei Torah lasa siagla Torah. Shenirbi benu shemini bezdim lishpot kafi tikun heis vazman. Right, and according to what Ran is saying, it's not true. Einochein al bezman shu yisrael b'sanhedrin umela chasanhedrin im lishpot asam bishpat tzadik levad lo letikun inyanam yosem bizeh im lo sheitan amelach lem kocho al bekasher lo yeh amelach b'yisrael ashofet yichlol shnei kochos koach ashofet v'koach amelach. And that's what the Gemara means. V'chein darshu razal v'hi b'shur in melech dir moslem moshe rabbeinu. Basically, the melech, when he exists, you know, has the, you know, he compensates and he's the address for all of this. And when not, then the Sanhedrin plays this role in addition. Again, the Abarbanel in Parshas Shoftim, you know, quotes a lot of this Saran. He really strongly disagrees. He thinks that the, you know, the melech functions are also functions of the Bezn HaGadol. Bezn HaGadol, in addition to the other functions we spoke about, serve the function of, you know, compensating for situations where the idealism of the law, you know, goes too far in a particular historical situation, you know, in removing the you know, the protections against chaos and anarchy. So the Abarbanel comes, oh no, this is all a din of the Bezdin. This is because the Abarbanel takes the view, which the Ran, you know, is hard pressed to argue against, and that is that Som Tosum, because according to the Ran, Som Tosum Alecha Melech has to be a lechatchila, because this is the way the system is envisioned through this breakdown. So the question is, you know, what about all the Chazals that say, you know, this is a big, you know, big lost opportunity for Klal Yisrael that they demanded a king, and the whole story with Shmuel's the critique, and so on. So Abarbanel says, yeah, the whole thing is a b'di'eved. There really shouldn't have been Malkos. It should have been all din under the, you know, Shoftim, or, and Bezin HaGadol, again, specifically Bezin HaGadol's role. And the Drosha Saran, as we'll see in a second, disagrees. He says, no, the Nieh Kekol, you know, Amim, you know, that part was the problem. The problem was that Klal Yisrael said, you know, we want to embrace the pragmatic, you know, this is his own twist. So we want to embrace the pragmatic part more than the idealistic part. You know, we want the melech not to compensate for the shoftim, but to be the central one. That's the nuance in which there was chet. And the overcompensation, I'll just read you a couple lines of that in a second, then I want to get off of this, but the overcompensation for that is the melech, of course, you know, number one, being somebody who has spiritual credentials of his own, And especially, number two, the fact that he writes his own Sefer Torah, you know, to add to the Yiras Shamayim. Iran has this view that the Melech isn't the king, you know, he's really the servant of the people. Very modernist kind of an approach. And he should understand that. That's why, you know, the Isra Gaiva for him is really built in, because really he should be the most humble of people. On the one hand, you know, he's prone to being the most arrogant. And number two, if he really understands what his function is, you know, he should be the most humble. But basically, the Sefer Torah, the Melech, the added Yiras Shamayim, all these things are to compensate against what really was the Chet Ha'am, and that is that seeing the Melech as the apex rather than seeing the Melech as the compensatory piece. Yeah.
According to the last line of the Rambam, where he says that it's Medini, the Siyagi, the Torah, and the Sanhedrin.
When you don't have a Melech.
Yeah, things are kind of internal to halacha.
Yeah. So then, excellent. So then later on, I'm just going to read you that line too. Eventually, the Ran gets back to the point that even though the Melech's role is Medini, here where you get the other way, you know, of overlap. The Medini, in the end of the day, says the Ran, is not complete. That's why I say he backtracks on a couple of things. The Medini is not completely divorced, and it's not, therefore, this part he doesn't say, it's not completely identical with the universal Medini either. In the end of the day, says the Ran, I'll read you the line in a second, the Medini is there to serve the Torah part too. But without the tranquility and the atmosphere, you know, that is hospitable, that is conducive to the transcendent and idealistic part, you're not going to be able to do it. Like the Rambam's view of Shmuel's aim, you know, being Olam Hazeh Yimasa Mashiach Al-Shibud Malchus Bilvad, and the Rambam's description in Hilchos Malachim, you know, that you need the tranquility. It's basically political. But you know, it's a political for the conducive, you know, goal of the spiritual. So that is what the Ran himself, I'll read you a couple of lines in just a second, ends up saying. So his whole view about Melech ends up, you know, coming back a little bit, and that's the line that Eli was referring to also, which I'll get to back in a second, about Beinadam Amakam, Beinadam Chaver, Siyagim. Does Siyagim belong to the Melech? Or does Siyagim also belong to the Shoftim? The truth is many Siyagim are to protect Dine Torah. Many other siyagim are to protect the social fabric. So do you make that distinction? Are the siyagim of the shofet and the siyagim of the melech? That's the initial perspective of the Ran. And then he says, no, maybe not. I think that's the line that you're referring to. Because after all, the dayan also plays a social role. And moreover, the siyagim, for the sake of Dine Torah, is a critical aspect as well. Itamar had a question before. Yeah. Okay, good. So let me just read another couple of lines just very quickly, just to show you the things I just said. This is the Siyagim. The Efshar Od Lomar, Shekoma Shenimshach, and again, by the way, it's very important for him to tell you, let me not just add this, Kasher Lo Yimelech B'Yisrael, we just said, HaShofet Yichol Shnei HaKochos, right, Koach HaShofet V'Koach HaMelech, but that's B'Di'eved, Shari Matzina B'Sof Nigmar Adin, and then he talks about the fact that Yoshua, in his opinion, was not really a Melech. But it's important for him to tell you that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech, right, and that he wore all these hats. Again, was it one big hat, or was he wearing lots of hats? Right. Then he says, after Od Lomar, Shekoma Shenimshach Mitzvah Torah, Bein Shu Kefi Hamishpat Hatzodek. Bain Shehu Kefi Tzora Chasha Nimsa Lebezin. Is this the line that you're referring to?
Yeah.
So I think this is Efshar Od. That's why I say, in my reading of it, although I agree, if you just took the line that you were both talking about out of its context, I might read it the way you read it too, but I don't think it's sustainable given everything that he says in the continuation. And I don't have such a problem with it, Lamafreya, either. But here's where, again, remember what's happened. He's already kind of, there's a chink in the armor because he's trying to deal with the Gemara and Sanhedrin and the fact that sometimes Dine Melech are in the hands of the Sanhedrin. Later on, he's going to explain, as I say, I'm going to read that line, that the Melech is really to serve the functions, the goal of the Sanhedrin in the end, too. So he's starting to overlap a lot more than the pure dichotomy. And here he's just telling you the Efshar Od Lomar, which is an admission, he hasn't been saying that till now. Shekol Mashen Imshach Lemitzah Satorah, Bein Shu Kefi Amishpat HaTzodek, Bein Shu Kefi Tzorach HaShaa, nimsar lebezdin, meaning even the pragmatic elements, you know, some of them are part of the Sanhedrin and not the melech. Aval masha bein adam lechavero hatzodek bilvad nimsar lebezdin kamaro v'shaftus amishpat zedek aval tikunam v'yoser mizeh nimsar lemelech v'lo l'shofet. So it sounds like there are two types of takanos and siyagim, l'shem mitzvah so l'shem sidur hamedina, and he is trying to split them up that way. Nimtza inyan, I'm skipping a little bit, hamishpat masur rubo v'ikaro l'sanhedrin umiuto elamelech. You can see already, again, as it's developing, that it's going in a certain direction. V'zeh haya chetam shel Yisrael b'dvar ha-melucha asher sha'alu v'hu inyan asher niskashu bo harbe min ha-rishonim kachrei shayu b'tzuvim lahakim alei ha-melech. Right, v'amur brazal shi'achas migimu mitzvah shenit stav Yisrael b'knisa la'aretz ma pisham aval daiti hu kach she'im ratzu she'ikar ha-mishpat b'meshe bein adam l'chaveiro yin nimshach mitzad ha-malchus. Right, they wanted that the balance should be in the pragmatic and not in the transcendent way, and therefore belonging to the Melech and not to the Sanhedrin. V'hu amaro v'yiskabtzu kol zikne Yisrael, a beautiful interpretation of Pesukim in Navi 2. V'yiskabtzu kol zikne Yisrael v'yavo v'lishmuel ha-ramasa v'yomar ilav hine atav, right? And so on. Lo hachu b'darkecha atasim lanu Melech l'shaftenu k'kol ha-goyim u'perusho etzli kachu shehem ra'u שמה שצורך לסידור המדיני יהיה מתוקן כשימשך מצד המלכוס מי שימשך מצד השופט ככל הגויים והם שוגו בזה הרבה כי בני שמואל הם היו שלא יחסידים כאביהם מכל מקום לא היו מאבסי משפט וכים שלא היו מאבסי המשפט ימשך מצד שופט ישראל כפי התור שיכול עניין אלוקי בהם אלא שישראל נוטו בעיסה היא יוסה לתיקון קיבוצם המדיני אבל they should have wanted Shoftei HaTorah with the compensation, right? But not that that should be the Iker. But Yorel Zeh, Masha Kasav Achra, Vayera HaDavar Bein Eishmuel, Kasher Amrut Tana Lanu Melech Lishavteinu, that the Melech should overlap the shofet, and they should have really wanted that the shofet should overlap the melech. They went back on it a little. Etc. But he still thought it was not the right balance. Perusho, du ki shigaska na shabakarta meshayira beinechem, mitikun sidur yonimativi, shenochen, avahida bake binyanu aloki, mishane inyana tavi birtsono, and so on. Lachena roi lachem, livchor yoser beme, sheyachumi menu inyana aloki bachem, who mishpat hashoftim, shakasav shaftu sa mishpat zedek, yoser mishne amalkasa sheyasa kirtsono. Zeh hevdel bein ha-shofet v'amelech. Ha-shofet mishubad yosel l'mishpnei ha-torah me'amelech, u'mipnei zeh yisir ha-melech v'tzivo shielo sefer Torah sheini v'heimo shemitok sh'amelech roa sheinu mishubad l'mishpnei ha-torah kemo ha-shofet tzorech azara me'ruba l'bilti yosir. Aval ha-shofet lo hutzrach l'kol elo azara sheyach cholto mugbal kefi mishpat ha-torah levad. He doesn't need a separate Torah. His yiru shamishpat ahu lo yateu b'shumanim shenemar l'tzat mishpat. His yiru ochali kach shochad, etc., etc. Then I want to read finally the last line. We talked to Melech. Avav bi she'enu davar b'tzad iser klal. One second, I'm skipping a little bit. I talked about the Melech as I say being mishubad. Is fascinating stuff about Hayden Zomid, which I hope we'll get to. Then finally, he has his famous piece on Yamin Osmo, which is like, just one second, I just want to find the line about the Melech being Meshubad to the. Second. One second. The imko bechalal al rov hatshuva bazeh she'ina noig b'mitzvah zos bechuk haTorah kamo she'inago akokos hativiyim bechuk hateva she'kamo she'ina teva adamo b'devar tivi she'lo akokot ha'hein l'tzorach tikuno u'bechalal al rov yimashech b'em tikun, like what the Rambam was saying. B'imko zeh lefamim al tzad hazorus yimashech me'akokos ha'hein b'atzmam hefsed. Hateva lo nishmar min hefsed ki efsho she'yev tikun b'yosim b'zeh. Again, you can't ask questions about the perfection of the system when, you know, by definition, its scope opens it up to sometimes, you know, being ineffective. Kein anyin b'shaveh b'chok ha-mitzvah zos, ki kamo sha-koach ha-mosheich ha-tivi ba-adam k'nei she-imshoch b'zono yev-shami b'ladav, ad she-imivatel ha-koach ha-hu yamus, v'im kol zeh ha-koach ha-mosheich emayot she-berov anyanim eino mosheich kim ha-naot levad, afa p'kein lefamim im ha-kokos ha-hu himshoch davar bilti na'ut yitialed mimenu choli berov azman vatevelo shkiach al zeh aval ikra kavanoso ala tikun haklali v'namshich hanimshach tamid v'lo yakpil ala hefsel hanufel al tzal hazarut shiyef shal tikun inyano biyosar mizeh kein ha'inyan b'mitzvah zu b'shaveh sh'atorah hishkicha letakein ha'hefsed she'efshah she'ipol tamid v'hu pirud ha'deos o'machlokes sh'tihas ha'tor k'shtei torah, he's talking about tzakein mamre, and so on. And this is the role of the Sanhedrin and of the Melech. And then finally, he says this idea that that the Melech himself. Aval ani mosif od biur psukim ki tigvar alecha tavascha lihidamos alagoyim asher sivasecha sheikar nagasin imshachas mitzad amalchus mash ein roi liyoskein im kol zeh yishamer lekal shelot tirtze lihidamot elehem legamri ki heim mamlichim aleim ha'ish asher yechpetzu bo yoser. Aval ata lo tishlot alecha tavasa kolkach asher gam ki tamar sim aleim melech kekol agoyim asher sivivasai mash ein roi lecha lomar hishamer lecha shelot timlach tamlich rather kekol avas nafshecha aval yeh melech oso asher yivcha Hashem alekecha bo v'ama b'sifrei al pi navi ulefi shekoach melech gadol einenu b'shimad l'mishpatei haTorah kamo hashofet v'im lo yeh shalem b'yiras alokav yovel lahafriz al amidos yosir mash yizchayev l'tikun haklal Tzivo she'a sefer Torah imo tamid. Yirtzal mitzvah satorah b'chlal, imivato she mitzvah l'torah tikun zmano, lo tia kavanosa laver al divrei Torah, v'lo lifrok me'alav ol yiras shamayim b'shum tzad, aval tia kavanoso lishmar es kol divrei ha-Torah. On mine, it's page 202. She'b'chol ma she'yosif o yigra, turning to the Melech, yichavein k'dei she'chukei ha-Torah mitzvoseha yu yoser nishmarim. Bashanemar al tzad hamasho shekashiyarog horeg nefesh v'lo ein v'asra lo tia kavanaso laharos memshalto la'am shu shalit al zeh aval yichavin basos hazeh kedei shemitzas al sirtzach titkayem yoter v'lo yifritzu aleha v'lefishu moshem memshorav v'hu utad l'hitgaot al zeh hizhiru li shamar mizeh. And then he goes on to explain how he's really the eved of the people. So basically what you have is, just to sum up, an amazing statement about this dichotomy. It starts off as an absolute dichotomy, at least the way I'm reading it, and I'm pretty sure that's what he's saying, in which there is no transcendent element in Mishpat ben Noach, but there is also very little, if anything, of the pragmatic side. There will be overlap, of course, but the sole motivation of the of Choshen Mishpat is the transcendent side. That is integrated fully into, that's a pshat in Mishpat Tzedek, that's integrated completely into other mikzos, HaTorah, including Chukim and Karbonos, and uses language of Shefa, Eloki, and Dveikus, and all of these things. Then, as he continues with the analysis, he begins to overlap, the two, but the overlap obviously has consequences in both directions. On the one hand, it definitely historically, under some conditions, puts the pragmatic part in the hands of the Dayan, but even in other circumstances makes it much more of a factor. At the same time, he also, on the other side of it, establishes that the Melech isn't just for the sake of the pragmatic, but at the end of the day, the Melech, with his Sefer Torah and his added obligation of Yiras Shamayim, in the end, his social and political takanos have to end up serving the values of Torah itself. Anyway, so it's a remarkable document. In this piece, he also discusses Lo B'Shamayim Hi and Rovin Bezin. Hopefully, we'll discuss that when we get to, you know, Mishpadacha, the Shulish Peshtei Toros, which we'll have the opportunity to do as well. Yeah?
The Rambam wasn't saying for, like, having spread the Torah and all that stuff for the Malach. It was just to, like, avoid him developing Gaiva. I mean,
say that again?
Rebbe thought that, like, the Malach happened to have the Torah because his...
No. He needs the Torah because his function is primarily to compensate on a pragmatic level for social and political and military reason. So if his job is always steeping him in, you know, veering from, you know, the idealistic Torah, so he dafka needs an added, this is what he does all day, you know, so he needs to overcompensate in establishing who he really is and why, what his motivation is. Again, till the end, he talks about just who he is, you know, because, you know, what he's doing all the time is, you know, is the Benoach part. So, you know, he just needs to establish his credentials and keep himself, you know. But then as he's going on developing in the piece, he's saying much more than that. What he's saying is the political and whatever takanas themselves have to ultimately serve, facilitate the goal of the Shoftos Amishpat Tzedek, albeit in a different way. So, you know, it's not just that he's steeped in this other world and this is kind of keeps him on the straight and narrow. You know, it's overcompensation. It is an addition to remind him of the bigger values so that the work that he does is not only not inconsistent with that, but in the end of the day is serving that. Now, he also says that an important part of his appointment and the Sefer Torah is gaiva. There's two different points in the Ran. On the gaiva side, he has three possibilities. You know, two of them basically don't go together, which are like, he has all the power, and, you know, therefore it's, you know, more likely that he's going to be nichshal in this particular thing. And, like, that's according, he's quoting Ramban al Torah for that. And then he says, but I really think it's something even more than that. And that is that of all people, he should have the less gaiva, even though he's likely to have the more, but he should have the less, because really he's a mishares of the am. And not that's separate from those are two different points about his Sefer Torah email. Okay, that is the run. I'm sorry it took so long. Let me just start talking about Smicha though. Are we good? Questions? Yeah.
Actually, an interesting point is that in the run saying Malchus is lichat chila, but only if you want it in the appropriate way. That I'm saying in when it's actually
with this balance, in other words,
exactly,
and with this goal. So when it's not that you should have the secular side, but the you should have the compensatory side, both for the social regulation, and I would say, in light of what he's developing further, you know, in light of the you know the compensation, you know, having in mind that bigger picture of the values.
Right. Yeah. So I just thought that
that's not good call. I got you.
I thought that it was interesting. He may be actually saying this that in actual Chumash it says Asim alai Melech kechol agoyim, and I think maybe the focus in. At least Navi is saying Lishavtainim.
Yeah, that's he's quoting both of those. I think that's exactly his diukim.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. Because they just have meaning. It's like a great thing because the words now just have such a different meaning. Just like Mishpat Tzedek, you know, means something totally different now. You know, in light of the Ran. Okay. Anyway, this is the Ran. The Drashas Ran is amazing work, and you know, you should really, yeah.
Is the Ran also saying kind of that the Malach is acting as sort of like a check for the Beitin, for the Shoftim?
A check, like checks and balances?
Yeah.
I think so, but not in the sense of, you know, not in the sense that we mean it, I guess, in the constitutional sense of like too much power. Yeah. I think in the sense of division of labor. In other words, it is, you could ask the question, and this is kind of what the part of what the Abarim announced, like, what do you need a Malach? You know, let the Bez Nagadol do this. But I think that there is a sense that, like, having, you know, somebody who's in charge of this and in charge of that is a better way to, you know, like, let me say it this way. You know, this is always the way, you know, we're going to talk about Zavla and other things and Matzamata and other things. There are always, like, two opposite strategies that you can employ. And, you know, throughout leadership, you know, in human history, you know, we've seen this as well. You know, one is, you know, what we call the collaborative approach, you know, and the other is the, I wouldn't say combative approach, but you know, the division of labor approach. In other words, the idea that the, you know, that the Bezen HaGadol, who's in charge, you know, they're the ultimate shoftim, that they should, you know, also be the ones to do the compensation, because they are coming to it from a, you know, Mishpat Tzedek point of view to begin with. So they're always motivated by that, and that's the Ikar anyway. So let them be the ones, I mean, the Abarbanel idea, let them be the ones to, you know, to take this function. Is very, very understandable. However, the other side of it is that sometimes, you know, the, you know, the division of powers is helpful. Because sometimes you need a meshuga l'davar echad. I don't, you know, as a melitz, I don't mean. I mean, you need somebody to be, you know, the advocate, dafka, of a certain motif, you know, for that advocacy, you know, to, you know, to get, you know, played out and manifest as clearly, you know, as it should. So it's always an interesting question, you know, do you want to, you know, place power and decision making, you know, in one hand if you can, or one body, you know, which has the potential for greater, you know, balance, or is it better to have like a checks and balances, you know, both for the sake of, you know, making sure that no power gets too great, but even more so, so that you get a more passionate, you know, a one-dimensional advocacy, and then you put that thing together. In my opinion, that's a big issue in, you know, in the deliberations of every Bezdin, and especially, we'll get to it in, you know, the second half of the year, and possibly in the difference between a Bezdin of Zavla, Zebar Lechad, you know, Shneim Borim Od Echad, and, you know, the Gemara says, Kadesh Yetze Adin Lamito, if it isn't just, you know, the perception of the Balidinim, or it's not just a tweaking of the process, but basically we're dealing with the regular if it's a different kind of a Bezdin, in a way it's that kind of thing, but that's on the level of the Balidinim. Here we're talking about not Balidinim, but like the interests of Klal Yisrael. So there are the idealistic interests of Klal Yisrael, there are the more pragmatic interests, you know, of Klal Yisrael. And that in two senses. Both what they share with everybody else, beginning of the Ran, you know, where maybe they need it more than anyone else or equal to everybody else. Namely, you know, sometimes the circumstances arise and you need to, you know, enact, you know, all sorts of, you know, tweaks in the system. Or, you know, in terms of figuring out, you know, what's a better way to do the single goal, you know, but with a more flexible arsenal.
It doesn't seem like anyone's really checking, like, that there's anything stopping the king from doing whatever he technically wants. Like, the other kings...
Well, I mean, that's why you have a Navi, and, you know, historically, the Melech sometimes abused his power.
And
sometimes... You can be Dan HaMelech. Bezen Shalayin Aleph is Dan HaMelech, right? So, that's also, you know, the Dvar HaMagadol. That's part of Mishnah Beis HaMelech. We'll see exactly what that means. Or not right now, but... Right, that's a different question. You know, how, if you have an abusive amount, and we've had that in Tanakh. But again, starting with Shaul got his Malchus taken away from him. You know, Malchus Beis David, that's a little tougher. But even then, you know, what are the, can you fire a Melech? Can you fire a Kohen Gadol? You know, but these are some of the issues. Okay, so let's talk about Smicha. I don't have so much time, just a couple of minutes at least. And I wanted to get into things that... that Josh brought up also. So, in light of the Ran that we just discussed, which is the difference between Melech and Dayan, and the, again, a very strong statement about the idealistic character of Mishpat Tzedek, of Choshen Mishpat. So we go back to the issues that we you know, have been talking about in terms of Smicha. So, again, most of us will have to speak one or two shiurim when we come back, but just to, you know, to build on a little bit from what we've already seen. So we know about there being in Parshas Bamidbar Vayatzal Min HaRuach, as I say, a ruchni, you know, spiritual component, you know, to the political leadership, which is part of the Dayanim story as well. And again, the Rambam's formulation at the beginning of Perek Dalet. About Hashras Hashchina and Smicha B'Yadayim. The question is whether smicha b'yadayim and that hashras hashchina is something that continues to be relevant when there's no longer smicha b'yadayim. I should mention that the ksav smicha of the or the shtar smicha misbach savi, you should get a chance to look at it, of the Sefer Ashtaros of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Tzaloni, does seem to say that smicha b'yadayim continued after Moshe Rabbeinu, which is a very shocking thing. But my reading of the Rambam, and we talked, I think, Isaac read the language of the Netziv that I was referring to about Siyata Deshmaya. I think the Netziv thinks this as well, obviously, is that while smicha b'yadayim as an event was a one-time Moshe Rabbeinu thing, what it highlighted in terms of, again, this added dimension of Kedusha in addition to just, you know, legal proficiency is Ad Beis Din Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Beis Din Hashem Yehoshua, Ad Beis Din Hashem Moshe, you know, remains relevant. And certainly the Netziv's idea of the Siyata Deshmaya based on the Gemara and Ksuvos highlights this as well. So again, Isaac had brought to our attention the Taurus Chaim, who, you know, says that the Eretz Yisrael factor is connected to, you know, Hashras Hashchina, which is fascinating. I don't think you have to say that. I suggested basically for the Rambam, and I stick with this completely, that it has to do with the representation of Kal Yisrael. But there's no stira between those two things. But one is different than the other. Parhal Davar Shel Tzibur, and so on. But the perspective of Taurus Chaim, that this has to do with Kedusha and Shechina. So Josh brought to my attention that the Aruch HaShulchan also has this in Siman Gimel. Sefirin, he too connects us to Eretz Yisrael, not Shechina, but at least Kedusha. So he in Siman Gimel Sifkatan Yud, Zeh Moshe Rabbeinu Samach Es Yehoshua B'Yadav B'Kadosh Baruch Hu Tziva Lo Kein V'Samachta Es Yadcha Alav Einu Mishum Laduna Lahoros, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Ela Kedei Shetishre Olav Shechina. Then in brackets he says V'kein Mashma Melushon Rambam, referring exactly to the Rambam that we were talking about in Dalid Aleph. What's fascinating about the Aruch HaShulchan is I wouldn't have written it that way. I would have said that, or I just would have added one line, and that is that while the Ladun Lahoros part doesn't require, in theory, Shetishra Shechina Olav, it probably wasn't two different dinim either. This is not, you know, Manhigus and Dayanus, but it was Moshe Rabbeinu's way, based on the way we read the Pesukim the other day, of integrating Dayanus and Manhigus. So it sounds a little bit, you know, two separate dinim in Aruch HaShulchan. I would have said that at least the Moshe Rabbeinu Yehoshua is the convergence of the two. So then when he discusses the problem of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, which we already talked about, the Shem Eretz Yisrael boundaries as opposed to the Kedushas Haaretz ones, Aruch HaShulchan says, the Kotzav Rambam, the Kol Eretz Yisrael Roy Lebsmicha, Afilu Makam Shasiku Ole Betzrayim, Yafa Bisha Rambam Be'atzmo Pasak, as the Nosa Kelem, I'll point out, as we've discussed, Be'perak Alf Mitrumos, the Kedushim Shonu Lekitcha Liyasid Lavo, Mikamakom Le'inyan Smicha Nikres Eretz Yisrael, V'nir Libetamo Shekosav Sham Dila Avir Nishar Dina Be'eretz Keretz Yisrael She'ein Avira Metame Tumas Eretz Amamim V'tama Desmicha She'ein Noeg Rak Be'eretz Yisrael Hu Mipnei Kedushasa V'lachein Kivan Da Avira Tahar Gam Smicha Noheges Sham. So again, this isn't Shoras Hashkina, but it's something obviously very parallel to it. I thank Josh for bringing it to my attention. And then he adds something which I had mentioned the other day too, which is, if Eretz Yisrael is so indispensable for Smicha, so how did the paradigm of Smicha, Moshe Rabbeinu, do it in the Midbar? And Moshe Rabbeinu, Shesamach Yehoshua, Vaz Kein B'Midbar, Aruch HaShulchan does ask this question, Mipnei She'oz Ha'isa Ikar HaKedusha B'Midbar, Hashchina V'Ha'aron. Then he goes on to attack the Kesem Mishnah. So again, my explanation is a little bit different, but again, these are, you know, it's different, and doesn't, you know, one doesn't require the other. They're certainly not mutually exclusive. Mine is that this is all about representing the interests of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu embodied that in his personality. Eretz Yisrael always is that because the national headquarters of the Jewish people. In the Midbar, obviously, before they entered into Eretz Yisrael, he didn't have that. The Gemara says on Mem Gimel in Sanhedrin, right, that Klal Yisrael Oreim Zel Azed didn't begin until Hanistaris Hashem Elokeinu Anigdos Lanu, until crossing into Eretz Yisrael. So the idea that there A was no Chutz La'aretz because there were no, or there was no Eretz Yisrael, more to the point. B, all of Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar. C, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the ultimate merging of all different leadership, and therefore represented the interests. He was the Melech, he was the Kohen Gadol, he was the the Rebbe, he was the Dayan, and so on and so forth. All of this works very well with this idea, but the Aruch HaShulchan is seeing it in terms of Kedusha. So whether you want to say Hashras Hashkina or Kedusha, or they're overlapping reasons, they're different, but they're overlapping, but it's an important and interesting formulation. Then later on, when he discusses the Chiddush HaSmicha, so once again, so my take on the Chiddush HaSmicha, like where does it come from, and I'll elaborate this more. I think there are two elements, but one element which I've already mentioned is, well, again, if Ishmi Pishmi Moshe Rabbeinu is a way of passing this responsibility and interests of Chachmei HaMesorah representing Klal Yisrael, so you can obviously recapture that, even though it's a yearly and there's no makar for it, by basically invoking the whole of Klal Yisrael, or at least all of Chachmei Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael, or all of Klal Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael. Again, we'll talk about those nuances later on. So for me, the Chiddush HaSmicha works very well, in that respect. For the Aruch HaShulchan, this is all about Kedusha, so that doesn't really help so much. So he says something different. Lo yadatim ayin lo l'Rambam, no one does. Askamas kol chacham shebe'eretz Yisrael, this is in Os Tezvav. Kol chacham shebe'eretz Yisrael ha'ab esmicha, afa pi shein echad neem samoch. V'ulai mipnei svarzu atzma shakasav dim lokein eich yeh la'asid. Okay, that's how he knows it, but not how he knows it. Vein lo mar shi al dei nabi, hari lo b'shamayim hi. V'atam yesh lo mar di ikar tam ma shematzrikim smicha mipi ha'samoch. This, I think, is a Kiddush. The im lo kein ulai hasamach vahnismach enam ruim lesmicha. Al mishu samach mipi samach ad Yoshua ad Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm glad he uses both those lashonos. Vada yodea lemi lismoch. V'lachein kishakol chachme Yisrael sheberetz Yisrael maskimim alechad vadai roi v'hogen hu lekach. V'kvar zeh Yoser me gimel me oshana hayu rabbi mechach meretz Yisrael shorotz lechadosh asmicha, and so on and so forth. So what's fascinating to me is that the Aruch HaShulchan, again, l'shitaso, he doesn't have, it's hard to say, this is about the, the Kedusha, and you're going to get that through Shechina, although I don't think that's impossible either. So for him, the issue of Ish, Mipi Ish, Samuch, is a din in deciding, or the responsibility of who to appoint. Now, to me, that not so compelling, but I think it is fascinating. It's Aruch HaShulchan, and it's an interesting shita. Meaning, because you received smicha in a line direct from Moshe Rabbeinu that qualifies you better to spot the talent. So I think that the point is that it isn't just about a spotting of talent, right? It's about entrusting this responsibility. The idea of the Mesorah, as we've been discussing, is not just about information, right? It's really about attitude. It's about the unfathomable things, the more subtle nuanced things that you can't always articulate. It's about the chush that you develop. It's about that instinct, and being in that line. Having been exposed to one of the Chachmei Mesorah, who transcends in his personality, the information that he, received and further developed and even transmitted, all that is part of the enormous sense of responsibility of tying the past and the future and the present, and having that sense of the weight of that. In deciding, who should come next or who to entrust this to, but it's also about not just the decision and the ability to identify, which I think is impacted by that, but also about the transmission itself. Now, it isn't just that a samuch, transmits a smicha. Presumably, that decision is all part of a process of a relationship, you know, of shimusho gadol milimud. It doesn't have to be technically, you know, but it's likely to be, and therefore it isn't just about identifying the best candidate. It's also about that for this reason, but it's also about producing the best candidates. So I think, again, he doesn't say this, he makes it sound like a narrower idea, but I think that's, you know, kind of the idea that emerges. Moving just a step backward for the moment, so this idea that smicha is more than, you know, simply transmission of knowledge or the appointment of function is something which I think flows, you know, from the Mishnah itself. And this takes us to stop. As we already noted, you know, there are two interesting things about the Mishnah and the Rambam's reading of it. Mishnah Beis Siman Aleph has a reference to smicha, but we're not sure whether it's smicha de dayanim or not. Mishnah says smicha skenim varifas egla, right? Bishlosha divrei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda omer bechamisha. So it sounds in the Mishnah like there's an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding both smichas kenim and arifas egla, right? Whether you need three or five. And that's what the Gemara follows up with on Yud Gimel Omid Beis. The Gemara Yud Gimel Omid Beis has the actual discussion, right? The Tanurban of Esamchu, Zikne Yachol Zikne Ashuk, Tamil Omer Eda, Eda Yachol Ktane Eda, Ha Eda Miuchadim Sheb Eda, Kamahein, Samchu Shnayim, Zikne Shnayim, Ein Bezen Shako, Bosifin Aleim, Od Echad. Right, Hare Kan Chamisha. Right, Rab Shimon says Zikne Shnayim, Ein Bezen Shako, Bosifin Aleim, Od Echad. Okay, so this is basically in the psukim of Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibur. That's the psukim that they're darshaning, and according to the Mishnah, that applies also to Egla Rufa. So what's fascinating is if you interpret like Rashi says that smicha in the Mishnah is smichas parolim davar shel tzibur, and that's fine. Even then, the connection between egla rufa and smicha is interesting, and especially in light of the fact that both may be about this idea of representation. Again, egla rufa is one of the examples of shame eretz yisrael. It has to be dafkin eretz yisrael and shame eretz yisrael, and again a kind of delegation and representation and this more idealistic sense of responsibility, is exactly what we were discussing. So the idea that Egla Rufa and Smichas Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur share this machlokas, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is interesting. Meaning, what kind of a delegation, you know, represents these interests? Is it a three man, a five man, etc.? But according to the Rambam, who says in Pirush Mishnayos that the Mishnah is speaking not only about smichas parhalim davar shel tzibur, but also smichas zakenim dayanim. So two things are found. Number one, the use of one term to include two such radically different things is shocking. We've discussed that already. We've noted that can't be a coincidence given his comment in Bechoros, right? That Eretz Yisrael is connected to parhalim davar shel tzibur. It's l'shitaso. But just to take it a step further, so what then emerges is that the machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon about smichas parolim davar shel tzibur and egla rufa, right? We pass in three, you know, extends also to smichas dayanim. In the reading of the Mishnah, according to the Rambam, it sounds that way. But the psukim are only in parolim davar shel tzibur. So once again, if you take the view that we're dealing with, you know, this added sense of, you know, responsibility, representation, etc., so the question, what kind of delegation? Then this is perhaps understandable. A second point in the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos is that the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos here, we'll read it next time, develops the Chidush HaSmicha idea. So again, he makes allusion to it here and in Choros, and of course in Yad HaChazakah, and we want to pay attention to the language. The Rambam knows he's saying something unbelievably mechudash. What's interesting is, and this is a methodological question which I can't you know, which I'm raising, I have an instinct about it, but you know, is it unusual that the Rambam raises this issue, Dafkin, also in Perushim Mishnayos, that he raises in Yad HaChazakah is understandable. But that he raised it in Pirshei Mishnayos in both places, is that surprising? I mean, obviously, in Pirshei Mishnayos, you know, the Rambam is very circumscribed. He doesn't really speak that much. He's trying to explain the Mishnah, usually. And, you know, he's pretty careful, you know, in counting his words. Definitely not verbose in Pirshei Mishnayos. So if you ask me, again, it could just be this is on his mind. It's an unbelievable chiddush. Obviously, he's really into this idea. He thinks it's a necessary prerequisite for bringing Yemos HaMashiach. So given that this is like, you know, a big theme for the Rambam, so whenever he has an opportunity, he's projecting it. Not that there's any evidence whatsoever that the Rambam was interested in implementing this in his day. So that could just be the explanation. But what I'd like to suggest, in light of everything that we've been discussing, which is the Rambam's perspective here and the implication from the Psukim, you know, and other indications that there's Kedusha and Hashras Hashchina and leadership and representation of Klal Yisrael in all of this, that the Rambam introduced Chiddush HaSmicha here dafka because it both to answer the question and really to give perspective on this institution. In other words, like, where did he get it from, and you know, how could he say such a radical, you know, thing without support? So the answer to that, but more importantly, if you want to characterize what Smicha is about and why it is Be'eretz Yisrael and why it could share, even limudim, you know, in concrete halachos with par halam davar shel tzibor. So by introducing the Chiddush HaSmicha, in a way, the Rambam is providing, you know, the solution to all of that. What the Rambam is saying is, don't think that this is some technical, you know, appointment, right, or some Gzeres HaKasuv, some narrow halacha. This is really about, you know, the entrusting, you know, the legacy of Torah, you know, throughout the generations. And it's about representation of the interests of Klal Yisrael. And the Chiddush HaSmicha is a necessary, not only necessary to bring Yemos HaMashiach, but it also, once you believe that, it really highlights that, you know, this isn't just like an elite club, you know, that, you know, passes, you know, from generation to generation. But the Mechayev here is the interest of Klal Yisrael. So the Chiddush HaSmicha perhaps is in the Pirshei Mishnayos, not only because the Rambam's into it, maybe also because he's into it, but because it ends up being like the best perush for some of these dinim. Like, why is it that it works, and why is it that it's limited to Eretz Yisrael, and why is it that it shares with Smicha? So that's a suggestion that I wanted to make. In light of that, it's interesting that the Rambam in Pirshei, this will have to stop, but the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos is mistapek. Chaim, what's he mistapek about? I'm talking too much, but I want to get through this, but we'll start calling now, everybody. In Pirshei Mishnayos, on Beis HaMenalef, he's mistapek on what? Did you get a chance to see it? Jonathan? But everybody saw it. Jonathan?
How many
Dayanim Smuchim do you require to pass on to communicate Smicha? Right? He's not sure whether it's one or three. And of course, when he wrote to Yad HaChazaka, then he decided that it was one. And the Yad Ramah disagrees. Yad Ramah thinks that it's three. So this itself is a very interesting argument, so we'll have to pick up with this next time, but let me just say one thing very quickly. So Revelvel, you saw the Revelvel?
Yeah.
So what does Revelvel say?
That you need one in order to make sure that you have a continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you need three because you need it to be through Beis Din, but its status is through Beis Din. It doesn't require that everyone on the Beis Din be a son.
Yeah, so it can be, you need a Maisa Beis Din to accomplish this, and you need the unbroken continuity of Ish Mipi Ish, you know, and that's why you need the Samach. Of course, once you have, you know, that idea, so then how do you get that through, you know, Rov Klal Yisrael, Kol Klal Yisrael, you know, where do you get the unbroken chain? Right. So is the unbroken chain something that exists through all of Klal Yisrael? That's something I can make a suggestion of, but I want to leave that to when I can elaborate on it. Meaning, you may not have an Ish Mipish Samuch anymore, but the repository of the totality of the Mesorah in every generation belongs to the totality or the collectivity of Klal Yisrael. And I think that's part of Eis Asher Yeshno Po, the Eis Asher Einenu. In addition to that, it's what we said before, which is that it's not a technicality, the transmission of the Mesorah. It's also a certain perspective on the preciousness and the responsibility and the time, connectedness of past, present, and future. And that's something. But in any case, the diuk that I wanted to make and to leave with is, Rav Elbel says our two dinim, but it's also interesting to note that when the Rambam formulates, when the Gemara formulates, Karolei Rebbe v'nasan lo rishus ladun abdinei knasas, the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and the Rambam quotes that. But if you look carefully in the Rambam, Perek Dalid, he basically, it seems like there are two dinim in Smicha. One is the status, and the other is the license. And it seems to be Meduik in the Rambam, maybe that's part of the, Ish Mipi Ish is part of the status. That's Karolei Rebbe. But the Ladun, Dine Knossos, that's a Dinamai Sebezd. And that's where the Rambam introduces the Dinamai Sebezd. So one of the things we have to figure out is, especially in light of other things we've been discussing, is what is the relationship between the status and the license? And the question of Roy Lahoros Becholatarakula, or splitting up into different Mikzos, and which is the natural of these? Do you need to get appointed in all the Mikzos? Right, or do you need to dafka, be limited, to specific mikzos if you're a royal horus b'chalatar kula? I think is also a function of this, because the more functional you look at the, nasan l'rishus l'adun, so every mikzoa is separate. But Karolei Rebbe, if he's going to be a walking sefer Torah and he's going to be entrusted with the legacy of the Mesorah, then he has to be royal horus b'chalatar kula. As we've seen, even Choshen Mishpat is part of that totality. That's part of what makes it Mishpat Tzedek, even though it's the pragmatic component. So we'll continue with this, and let's go through the Shakutari, the Gemara, and some of these issues more specifically. And I want to talk about the Kiddush HaSmicha Pratim in the Rambam on the day that we come back. I'm just going to run.